This morning's first scripture reading is from the Hebrew Bible, the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9, verses 7 to 10. Go, eat your bread with enjoyment, and drink your wine with a merry heart, for God has long ago approved what you do. Let your garments always be white. Do not let oil be lacking on your head. Enjoy life with the partner whom you love, all the days of your vain life that are given you under the sun, because that is your portion in life and in your toil at which you toil under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do with your might, for there is no work or thought or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol to which you are going.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from the book of Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 through 40. I think it's a typo in your bulletin that's left over from last week, but we're in Luke today. Now, as the disciples went on their way, Jesus entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When I sent out the bulletin email this week for this last sermon of our The Theology Of series on the theology of housework, I had some interesting reactions. One person wrote back and said, "Love it. Your title, not so much housework." Kathy Fink shared that several people in her mindfulness studies program at Lesley find mindful dishwashing as a calming practice. So as you might have seen from our thumbs up and thumbs down and thumbs in the middle earlier, housework can be a polarizing topic, even just depending on which housework chore we're talking about. I think we all probably have some that we enjoy a little more than others, and maybe one or two or several that we really detest. If I can ask Jane to come to the narthex, I'm gonna ask everyone to shout out or type out if you're online. Some of our favorite housework tasks and then some of our least favorite housework tasks. So if Jane wants to come and yell out the ones that people have typed in online, that'd be awesome. Sorry to put you on the spot there, Jane. So what are your favorite housework tasks? Just yell them out, kind of popcorn. Cooking? Say it again. Making coffee in the morning. I've never thought of that as housework, but I'm going to put that, I make tea every morning. I'm going to consider that now housework that I enjoy. I like that. Any other favorite housework tasks out there? Yeah, Jane.
Lisa, while washing dishes,
love washing dishes, hate cleaning bathrooms. I love to load the dishwasher and press start and hear that very satisfying, you know, the music of the water going, and you feel like you're working even though you're not working for the next few hours while the dishwasher, yeah, but I hate unloading it. Yeah, Jane, another one. Shining your copper bottom pans. Ooh, I bet that feels good. And laundry. Yeah, someone likes laundry. Yeah, Dave. Decluttering. I enjoy that too. Yeah. Yeah, go ahead. Making the bed, all right, yes. For some folks, that's very satisfying, right? You've got it nice and flat. It's satisfying for me because we got rid of our top sheets and we just do comforters, so I just go, whoop, and it's done. That made me a lot happier once I figured that out. All right, what household chores, what housework do you detest? Anybody? Oh, I did that yesterday, Jane. It took so much longer than I thought, and it's really gross. Yeah. Making lunches day after day after day. If you've got young kids who can't make their own lunches yet, that's a drag, and it always feels rushed. Oh. Do we all just love housework here? Do we have any others? Yeah, Dave. Cleaning the bathroom. We did that yesterday too. Yeah, Sharon. Folding laundry. Yeah. It's nice when it's all clean, but then you gotta put it away somewhere. Yeah. Yeah, Scott. Mowing the lawn. I gotta send Gabriel to your house because he loves at least to pretend to mow the lawn. He's only three, so he can't do it yet. But Jane. Ooh, paying bills from Janet Forte. And what was the first one? Okay. Cleaning the bathroom was Janet's, yeah. You kind of realize you have to confront some things you would rather not confront when you need to clean the bathroom, right? Maybe you or your family is a little dirtier than you thought. Yeah, Betty. Oh, I hate that. Clearing all the junk off the table so you can actually eat there. We have a table that gets used for art projects and all sorts of stuff until company comes, and then we have to clean it. No fun. All right. Thank you all. I think we all now are in our feelings, as the young people say, about housework, whether we love it or hate it. And before we dig further into that a little bit, I do want to note that although I'm going to be away next weekend, which is Labor Day weekend, in some ways this sermon will lead into that theme of Labor Day as we talk about work, particularly this kind of work that isn't glamorous, isn't usually valued, but is so necessary to the operation of the smooth operation of a home and in larger sense of society. Because you can you imagine what would happen if we all neglected our laundry for a couple weeks or we didn't clean our toilets for a few months? There would be a lot of folks calling out sick and a lot of people showing up to work looking very disheveled. Labor Day actually dates back to the 19th century when labor organizers were advancing the idea that ordinary workers should be treated justly and safely on the job. This is very biblical. And that they should be fairly compensated for their work, and that limits should be placed on how much work they should do before they could rest, or without a rest. In other words, Labor Day began as a testament to how deep the daily work we do is tied to our dignity as people, as children of God who each deserve access to meaningful work done in a respectful environment, as human beings made in the image of this God who made the world with labor and then rested, right? Just as you go into Labor Day, think about that. This justice and dignity lens of Labor Day can challenge us to think in new ways about housework, because it's one of those particularly undersung, underappreciated, undercompensated, or non-compensated labor that happens in our society, right? And it's a burden that is often shouldered unequally by women. And even when it's paid labor, it's often done by women who don't have the protections of benefits like health insurance or Social Security. And if they're not documented, then it's often a profession where people are grossly underpaid and exploited, right? It's even a justice, or perhaps we could say a fairness issue in this morning's gospel reading. Martha comes to Jesus complaining because her sister Mary has skipped out on the many tasks necessary to welcome a guest into one's home. Tasks which, of course, at that time had to be done without the benefit of appliances and electricity or prepared, deli sandwiches and crudité trays you could just buy at the grocery store. They didn't have those for Jesus. We know that what comes right after this verse is Jesus' reply, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. Mary, sitting at Jesus' feet, has chosen the better part." But I left that out of the initial reading to let Martha's complaint hang in the air for a moment, reminding us of the unequalness of that housekeeping burden resting on one person, as it really often does. It's funny because from the scripture, we don't know whether Martha enjoyed housework or not. I, for one, enjoy the sense of restoring order to the kitchen while I'm cleaning it, or the satisfaction of emptying the vacuum canister when it's really filled up with junk. Oh, that feels really great. You can see the evidence of how much you have cleaned out of your carpets, right? It's tangible. But that enjoyment and satisfaction can quickly turn into resentment if I realize that my kids have left their dishes on the table for me and for my husband Chris to clean up, or that the living room rug is covered with toys that need to be moved if anyone's going to vacuum. Maybe Martha hated housework and her dislike bubbled over into grumbling about it to Jesus. But maybe she enjoyed it and she just didn't want to feel she was in it alone when other folks lived in her household and should have been responsible also for keeping it clean and for welcoming guests. Nowhere does the scripture mention their brother Lazarus, which we are going to chalk up to biblical patriarchy. Just note that later he dies and has to spend 4 days in the tomb before Jesus resurrects him. I'm not saying that's because he shirked his fair share of chores, but I'm not saying it's not because he shirked his fair share of chores. So do your housework. However she felt about it, however Martha felt about it, however we feel about housework, it can be a cause for dissatisfaction and annoyance, or we can turn it into something, well, a little more spiritual. In a sermon a few years ago, I mentioned Brother Lawrence, who was a Carmelite brother in 17th century Paris, again, before electricity made things a lot easier. His only two jobs during his entire life at the monastery were KP duty, as my dad would call it, kitchen police, and shoe repair, about the furthest you could get from work with any kind of profound or lofty purpose. You know, he wasn't the one writing theological treatises or even copying over manuscripts. And the work he did was certainly full of drudgery and repetition and tedium. But while he scoured pots and repaired shoe soles, Brother Lawrence would pray, because he saw every moment of manual labor as a means of coming into God's presence. However humble to an onlooker, each load of dishes washed, each stack of sandals repaired, represented for Brother Lawrence an opening to holiness, a way to serve his fellow monks and brothers. Brother Lawrence knew that housework is repetitive and tedious and drudgery-filled, but he also knew that it can be so much greater than that. That's why I tell my kids every time they finish a housework chore that what they've done is a contribution toward keeping our home a nice place to be for our family and a welcoming spot for our friends to come and visit, that it really makes a difference and matters. It's an act of caring and hospitality. That's why men in straight couples that keep track of the actual amount of housework they do for a month and perhaps realize there was an invisible imbalance between the work that they do and the work that their female partners do, which is pretty well documented, that men in straight couples tend to underestimate the amount of housework that they do, they're often converted to what I call housework feminism. They want to live more fully the values of equality and fairness that they say matter to them in their broader lives, but maybe they aren't living fully at home, because that's a way to love their partner. That's a way to stand for justice for women in general. You might think it's silly or ineffectual to just put on your rose-colored glasses about housework, or your care and hospitality glasses, or your justice-colored glasses, and it will just suddenly change into work that you enjoy. And it's true that is not necessarily a magic solution. But the way that we think about these things actually is really powerful. And Kathy, right before worship, reminded me of a story I'd heard a while ago about a study where women who were cleaning rooms in hotels, you know, on their feet all day, taking care of other people's messes, changing sheets, washing towels, scrubbing toilets, that they were instructed to think about their work as exercise instead of just drudgery, right? And after several weeks and after several months, their health outcomes had all improved from a baseline. Their blood pressure was lower, their cholesterol was better, they were more fit, they had better endurance, all because they changed the way that they thought about something that they had to do anyway. Our brains are really powerful when it comes to this stuff. That's why housework can actually be times spent deepening our spiritual lives, working on our relationship with God. The next time you're stuck folding a huge pile of laundry, or washing a sink full of dirty dishes, or vacuuming up the pile of hair that your cat somehow reproduced overnight, even though just the day before you'd vacuumed up a whole cat's worth of hair from that same spot, it's probably because it's summer, but my cat manages to, we have to vacuum every day with her. Try spending that time talking to God. Just tell God what is on your mind, even if you feel a little silly at first. Tell God what you're worried about, what you're hopeful about, what you are grateful for. Tell God who you'd like to work on forgiving or who you'd like to work on getting up the courage to apologize for something. Tell God what problem you'd like help solving or what creative endeavor you'd like a little inspiration for. If you feel a little stuck, you can try the three basic prayers according to Anne Lamott that we talked about this morning with our young people. Help, thanks, and wow. Those are good starters. You can also use the time, as long as you're not vacuuming, to get quiet for a moment and see if the Holy Spirit brings up a person you know who could use a phone call. And then call them, and you know, you don't really have to think about folding your laundry. You've done it a million times before. Maybe check in with somebody who could use a friendly conversation over the phone, somebody who's having a hard time or maybe feeling lonely. Or listen to music that feeds you spiritually, whatever that looks like. Unless you think that finding deeper spiritual meaning in housework has to be sanctimonious, has to be, you know, that you're praying or you're reaching out to someone or you're listening to hymns, you can also just choose that time to practice joy, which is certainly a spiritual value. As we said with our young people this morning, God wants us to be joyful. God loves when we are enjoying life. As we said in our Ecclesiastes scripture this morning, put on your favorite music and dance with your kids while you clean up the kitchen together. Put on a favorite cozy mystery TV series that you can kind of watch out of the corner of your eye while you're scrubbing the tub, or put on a great podcast or an audiobook, and you'll be in such a better mood while you're doing all those unpleasant tasks. You could buy a silly or colorful apron. Mine's got Frida Kahlo all over it, and I love the colors on it. It just makes me feel good when I wear it, and it'll put a smile on your face as you're prepping for dinner or doing those drudgery lunch makings in the morning. Because to paraphrase Ecclesiastes, you have as many wonderful moments left in your life as you are willing to be joyful, to be filled with gratitude, to be present to the moment. Ecclesiastes says there won't be any housework where we're going after this life, which is probably cause for celebration, but you know, that's part of life. Those daily tasks are part of the gift of life here on earth, so we might as well find a way to enjoy them as we go. We did this yesterday cleaning the bathrooms with my kids. I taught them how to properly scrub a toilet. They're at the age where potty talk is funny, so they thought that scrubbing the toilet was a great game, that they got to do that. And I told them that this was going to be an act of welcome and love for our friend Matthew, who's house-sitting while we're gone camping this week, because nobody wants to stay at a house that has dirty toilets. And we put on Queen. We put on Another One Bites the Dust, right? Sometimes we also do I'm Gonna Wash That Man Right Out of My Hair from South Pacific, both good cleaning songs. And we just had fun with it and tried to enjoy that moment, even though who really wants to be scrubbing toilets on a Saturday morning? You know, I think the scripture this morning actually got it wrong. Not because Jesus should have told Mary to go help Martha and stop spending time with Jesus. We all need more time at Jesus' feet, I think. But because it presented housework and spending time with Jesus as mutually exclusive. And they're not. Brother Lawrence didn't see his spiritual self as separate from his chore-doing self, otherwise he would have had pretty much no time for his spiritual self. And he certainly didn't see spirituality as something to be reserved for Sunday mornings or for mountaintop grand experiences. If we let it, housework can be an invitation to find God in the mundane, in the unpleasant, in the repetitive, and in the humble. Because that's where God is, friends. Not just in the exceptional, or the quiet moment, or the sacred holy space, but everywhere that we are willing to seek God out. Try it and see. Amen. Friends, as you go forth into this week and into this world, give it a try. Pick, I don't know, you could pick a fun task that you sort of, or you could pick the worst one you enjoy, that you don't enjoy at all, out of your housework chores, and see if you can find a way to get in touch with God while you're doing it. And then let me know about it. I'm not going to have email for a few days because we're going to be at a campground, but I would love to come back and read your experiments, read about your adventures with looking for God in really the unpleasant moments of life. Because if we wait to find God only in the pleasant moments, we're going to miss out. But if we practice finding God in those less than stellar moments, even if less than stellar is pretty minor inconvenience, we'll be that much more prepared to find God when something really does go wrong in our lives and we need to feel that presence there with us. Go in peace.